So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should all wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I picked John for our message tonight for a very specific reason. I don't think John made it today, but when I went to Emmaus, I was studying the book of John, and then, as it would happen to be, the table name that I was at was John, and the table leader I had was John. So I was surrounded by Johns, and really, this touched me a lot. I'm going to start back in a few years ago, in 1975. Microsoft was created. Gas was under a dollar a gallon. The Vietnam War comes to an end. A young man of 11 is going to a small church in rural Ohio. He's been going for several years with his sister, but not his mom or his dad. The young man's dad was fed up with religion. He was the son of a traveling preacher, and he'd been hardened by what he saw while he was making and selling homemade candy at traveling church fundraisers during the 50s and early 60s. This was all over southern Ohio and northern Kentucky. The dad still encourages the young man and his sister not only in going to church, but in all things, telling them that they needed to decide for themselves, is church right for them? He didn't want to influence them negatively. So the young man goes to church, sings in the church choir, studies the Bible. He's unable to reconcile the Old Testament with what he believed was a loving, kind, and benevolent God, and he walks away from the church and from God at the ripe old age of 11. Having come from a farming community and being completely sheltered about the world, this young man had no care to speak of. Life was pretty good. Life was really simple. Forward to 1983, Microsoft launches Microsoft Word. Gas creeps up to a bit over a dollar a gallon. Our young man enters the Air Force right out of high school, getting married right before boot camp. He believes he knows more than any other kid his age, and he's prepared to be a man. The world expands a bit. The passage I've been reading you has a pretty clear and simple message. No servant is greater than the master. Jesus set this as an example for us to follow. One translation in business I would come across later would be something along the lines of servant leadership. And up to that point in my life, I would have had an inkling what that meant, but I really wouldn't have gotten it. Later, after the Air Force, I have two children, and the world expands a bit more. The love of a parent has for their children is something that I would imagine God has for all of us. But his is on a much grander scale. I would do anything for my kids. But even then, I didn't get tonight's message. The Air Force had its chain of command. You follow the orders of those above you. Your first sergeant and your commander would not be washing your feet. Leaders lead and followers follow. That's the end of the story, as far as I knew. Fast forward to 2004. Don't remember, but it was weapons of mass destruction is something we heard then. Gas is $1.88 a gallon. We have a divorce, second marriage. Now there are five children in a blended family. The world really expands a little bit then. Something's still missing in my life, and I don't know what. I wouldn't even have been able to tell you there was anything wrong. I would have said, life is pretty good. Day in, day out, life just happened, and the world kept spinning. Somewhere around the winter of 2016, Roberta says to me, we're going to church. It wasn't debatable. After a search of the area on website after website, we end up at North Royalton Methodist Church. I didn't tell you, but the church I went to as a child was Methodist as well. Interesting how those things happen. Many of you know the story about 6 months after we'd been going to North Royalton and getting baptized there on Easter Sunday, we were told that the church was going to shut down. God touches us again and sends us Pastor Dave, Pastor Christopher, Denny and Darlene, Becky, a few other Strongsville peeps get to come over before it was shut down. We get to hear Denny sing for the first time. We get to hear Pastor Christopher and Pastor Dave minister. The world expands again. It wasn't until I come here that I realized what service could really mean. Washing feet might be a literal interpretation for what you could do to live out God's word, but a more modern interpretation happens here all the time at SUMC. All kinds of supportive ministries that we teach each other the gospel from. There's Kids Hope, where I'm honored to be able to mentor an at-risk kid. To give back just a little bit. Then there's Royal Family Kids Camp, where I get the privilege of helping a few foster kids forget all about the real world for a week and allow them to have some of what I had as a kid back in rural Sulphur Springs, Ohio. Fishing, archery, just being a kid. There's Laura's Home, that the church supports with meals and clothing. There are kids of incarcerated parents. I didn't even know that was a thing. In our first year, we're brokenhearted to hear that there are kids with their parents in jail, and how hard is it for them? Then there's the Blue Bus. It's kind of funny how that happened. The first time we were looking at things we might be able to do at the church, Bert really, really wanted to go on the bus. She was very passionate about wanting to go on the bus. And the first time we were scheduled, she got the flu, and she couldn't go. And she was pretty upset that I got to go without her that first time. That was really her idea and her passion. The glow I had when I got home made it okay. I really started to get the message of the scripture when I've been on the bus. When I'm down on one knee, talking with a 5-year-old child, looking to just get some food for their family. Or when I'm trying to track down shoes in the bins for someone that desperately needs them. Or when I'm talking to a man who let the air out of his tires on his car so that he couldn't drive away from Stella Maris before they let him in to make sure he didn't do drugs again, because he knew if he could drive away, he would. My world expanded again. I really relate to Simon Peter when he says that he's all in. Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well, he tells Jesus. Heck, give me a full head-on car wash if I can. How do I get me some of that? I jump in with both feet. I join the trustee board. I volunteer running the sound when I'm not up here. I end up on the mission team. I'm still not sure how I ended up on the mission team. I join Bible studies and do all kinds of things. I've been so blessed by so much in my life. Many of you know that 11 days ago, I suffered a heart attack. Many of you don't. And they put me on the operating table, and they strapped my arm down, and they were going to do a cath procedure on my arm. I had this incredible wave of calm come over me. I was calmer than I was getting up here. I just knew that I had so many people praying for me. And I knew that God had me. And I've never been that calm in my life. I believe that he put me here so that I could get through that and not have the fear. 2 years ago, I would have been terrified. My world expanded again. Sometimes it takes being knocked on your keister to get the message. I've been a stubborn child of God. He let me be myself and wander all over the place to get where I am today. And he was constantly nudging me to get back to center, back to good. I selfishly get on the bus and I serve because I get to feel a little bit of what I imagine Jesus was trying to teach in this message. We're all the same, you and I. None better, none worse. Titles don't mean anything. Your place in life doesn't matter. We can all give something to those around us. Give what you can. Help where you can. Serve each other. Help each other. And bless each other. Make your world expand a little bit. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for teaching us that we are meant to serve one another. Show us ways that we can use our gifts to spread your word throughout the world. Thank you for looking out for all of us and our extended families during the holidays, and I pray that you touch everyone here with a bit of hope and light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That same night that Jesus gathered with his disciples and washed his feet, he gathered with them too around a table. And after living with them and teaching them and healing the sick and washing their feet, he continued to show them what it means to serve others, what it means to love others, and how they were called to follow. As he took the bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body that's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you so that you might receive forgiveness of sins." Let us pray. Eternal and holy God, we seek to serve you. We seek to love others. We seek to follow your example you gave us through Christ, who is willing to stoop down and wash the feet of his disciples. And so, Lord, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. They might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory. Amen. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table of communion. That means that we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with the heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite my server forward and then I'll invite you all to come at the poor say, Go forth now with the love and the grace and the peace of Christ. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.